there, welcome to a wee blether about, a podcast from the academic skills team at UWS. My name is Linda Riches and I'm one of the academic skills advisors at the university. So I'm joined today by two of my colleagues, Carly. Hi, Carly.
Hi, Linda.
And John. Hi, John.
Hi, Linda.
So we thought it would be a good time to actually have a little look at presentations. Now, ages ago, and I think it's pre-Carly and pre-John, we did a podcast about presentations, but it's fair to say that presentations have evolved quite a lot since then, the past couple of years. Lots of different types of presentations that students are asked to do now. So if I think about that, you know, for example, the last couple of weeks, myself and our other colleague, Mary, we've presented to students who have to present an infographic at a conference. I've done sessions around students having to record a 15-minute presentation without slides, but just audio record it. And I've also done a session for students who had the choice of doing something in person, a presentation, or via Teams presentation. So there's lots of different types of presentations these days. So we thought it would be a good chance to have a chat about some of the issues that are maybe common to presentations and just some hints and tips with that. So maybe first thing to think about, and I'll bring John in first of all, is maybe just a couple of sort of top tips for students when they're thinking about presentations.
Okay, well, it's good to kind of think about some of the similarities between kind of a presentation and an essay and some of the differences as well. I mean, just like an essay would feature an introduction, main body and conclusion, I think that's a good way to organise your presentations as well. So just something in the introduction sets the scene, explains what you're going to, the main message, what you're going to actually talk about in the main body. And obviously the more specific content in that main body, and then a conclusion at the end that summarizes, maybe looks to the future, gives recommendations depending on the task. So that's one way to maybe think about kind of how to go about planning your presentation. Trying to think of what the key messages would be as well, just like you would do when writing an essay, what the key points that you want to get across are. And also, in terms of the kind of differences as well between a presentation and an essay, thinking about the type of language that you use. Now, of course, there's a certain level of formality that goes into an academic presentation, but in general, the style can be a lot more conversational, a lot more informal than the language that you'd have in an essay. So things like, you know, we say in essays that you shouldn't use contractions because it's just not what you do. You should say, in an essay, you should say it is rather than it's, or do not rather than don't. Of course, when you're speaking, you don't need to do that. You would use the informal forms. And in some ways, you can use a slang as well and idiomatic phrases. I mean, you still want to be using full sentences when you're speaking as well. But there are some differences in approach and style. So, that's just some things to kind of think about when you're doing your first presentation anyway.
Yeah, and that planning element that you said, John, is quite important, isn't it? It's not any different from any other assignment. It needs that planning element. And you very much need to have a good start and a good finish as well, because the first thing they're going to hear is that introduction, and then the last thing is that conclusion. So if it just kind of stops, that's not great. Yeah. Any sort of tips, Carly, that you would sort of say for students to think about with presentations?
I think those are all good ideas, John. And I think that's something that a lot of students have questions about, with kind of the language to use for presentations and how that might differ from one type of presentation to the next. I think we're seeing a lot more, and Linda, you mentioned this, of these oral presentations. I'm certainly seeing a lot of presentations that used to be maybe in person or even online now are oral presentations that are being recorded, submitted by, you know, Microsoft Stream or another format. So when you have those, it can be difficult when you don't have that visual aid. And so we're tempted to write out an entire script. But if you do have that, if you do have a written bit that you're going to try and read from or even memorize some of, I think we have to be quite careful in our approach with that, because you can run the risk of sounding really robotic, and that's not very listenable for your marker. So I'd be very careful about that. If you want to bold some words in a script or anything that you're reading from, if you want to enter down a little bit more than maybe you would for an essay, as we said before, largely it's structured similar to an essay where you have a beginning, a middle, and an end. You have that logical progression of ideas, but maybe every other sentence you enter down so that you know that you can take a breath, so that you know that you can pause, so that you know if you do get lost as you're reading, as you're checking that, you can pick back up where you left off. So you can enter down a little bit more. It doesn't need to be that same structure that you would have for an essay or a report where you have a cohesive paragraph and then you move on. Use subheadings also to help yourself. Maybe you wouldn't have those in every single written assessment. And let's say that you're outlining something where maybe you have to talk about the six principles of something, then you can add some bullet points, and next to each of those bullet points can be a full sentence still, but you can just structure a bit differently to guide yourself and use that visual grammar that we would usually use in a visual presentation. You can use that for yourself, that visual grammar of reading the page, to guide yourself as you're speaking for an oral presentation and as you're recording, perhaps. So you might just want to approach that a little bit differently than a more traditional in-person presentation that has a PowerPoint or some sort of visual aid, whether it's a poster or an infographic, as you'd mentioned.
Yeah, and that makes it easier on yourself when you're actually presenting, doesn't it?
Yeah, don't make it more complicated than it needs to be. I think we do that sometimes with oral presentations especially. But, you know, there's already nerves involved. So you can make it easier for yourself by structuring it differently, bolding words, using colors. By all means, do it.
Yeah. And I suppose another tip, something I mention to students quite a lot and also is sometimes specified in oral presentations, is bringing referencing in. So if you did that the way that you might do it in an essay where you made a point and put a reference at the end, that can sound really clunky when you're presenting. Whereas if you try to bring that reference into the sentence, you know, near the start of the sentence, so Rich's 2024 suggests, argues, claims, that sounds far more natural, doesn't it, than leaving it to the end of the sentence. So I know that's something that is always mentioned. And I know the other thing that's always mentioned is that concern from students about, well, what if I pause? What if I get a word wrong or I pronounce a reference incorrectly or whatever? I've done quite a few sessions where the lecturer has played a sort of demonstration of a good presentation, and you will always hear those pauses. You will always hear the odd little tripping over a phrase, or tripping over the pronunciation. And I think it's important to say lecturers are on your side. They want you to do as well as you possibly can, and the odd, slight issue with pronunciation is not dramatically, that's not really going to affect your mark. So sometimes students get really hung up on it's got to sound perfect when actually it doesn't have to.
That's the difference as well between the speaking element and the writing element. When you're doing your written work, there would be an expectation that you're going to get your spelling right, your grammar right, and presentation right. But I don't think that's not really what's been assessed in presentations. It's actually sounding natural and making some hesitations and mistakes and false starts is actually part of the good communication, I think, in a presentation. Actually, it works. It actually shows that you're not being kind of robotic in how you speak.
Yeah, true. And certainly, I don't do very smooth presentations. I'm always, pausing and all that kind of thing. I think it's important to not think that it's got to be perfect in that sense. Caroline mentioned briefly earlier their nerves, and I suppose that's something that we want to address as well, because that's the other issue, I think, for a presentation, is that issue of nerves. Anyone got any particular tips or things that they feel work particularly well to sort of calm nerves before a presentation?
Well, I think the most important thing is to do rehearsals of presentations beforehand. You shouldn't really be going into the presentation doing that for the first time. There's the opportunity to practice. Maybe if you're doing a group work activity with your actual group mates, or finding a course mate that you can do your presentation in front of. You could even come to an academic skills appointment and do a dummy run of your presentation with us in an appointment. That's something that we can do and give you some kind of feedback on that as well. If you've really got nobody to give your presentation to, I've heard about this before, kind of like getting kind of like dolls and teddy bears around your bedroom, so you've got eyes staring at you for while doing your presentation, and just try and recreate that as much as possible. But definitely practice, rehearsal, I think is key to this. So you don't freeze then on the day. So when you do go and do your presentation, that you've ran through it before, you've got the confidence to know that you've actually you've delivered that presentation before, and you're familiar with what you're going to say as well.
And also you're familiar with the sound of your own voice, because if you've not done that, it's really weird to hear yourself presenting, I think. Mm-hmm. So you don't want the first time that you say those words to be the first time they're coming out your mouth, because that is when you're likely to trip over words or get a little bit lost, that kind of thing. So you almost need to practice to know where are the bits that I'm not so certain, where are the bits I've got to maybe rephrase that or be a bit more careful. Carly, what would you advise in terms of, you know, how to calm those nerves?
I think going off of what you just said, there could be some bits that are more complicated. Sometimes those are, you know, maybe surnames that are in your references. So you're not going to get marked down if you pronounce it incorrectly. So practice it a few times. But if you're not sure, just say it confidently when you're presenting, and they'll know that that's, you know, an attempt to say it. And it's clearly a reference that you're putting in there, a citation. So don't worry about that so much. You're not being marked for that. But there are lots of different other practices that people do. Some people like to put on a song that really makes them happy or just makes them feel relaxed. So you can do that. You can do a short guided meditation. You could do a little affirmation saying, I can do this. I'm going to do well. This will be done in 15 minutes and then I can be free for the day. I also always say that it has to be something that, you know, you're self-aware of. So for myself, I know that if I'm going into a presentation that maybe I've not done before, or I've not done it in a long time, and it's maybe at 11 o'clock or something, then I know that I will probably skip my morning coffee that day, because the nerves enough will fuel me. I'll be awake enough. So if I have my morning coffee, I might be a little bit more nervous. That could just exacerbate it. So if you're like me, then maybe you reward yourself at the end with that cup of coffee and you can be a little bit more relaxed and energized for any other tasks that you need to do that day.
Yeah. I think that reward thing is quite good. I tend to have that thing you mentioned earlier of thinking it will all be over in an hour. So if I've got to do it at 11 o'clock, by 12 o'clock, it will be over. So to try not to catastrophize about 1 hour of my day, you know, just think, you know, and I think as John had said earlier about, you know, the planning and the practice, if you've planned and you've practiced for it, then you're good to go. And I think that goes a long way to getting you through. I think where you can fall apart is if you've just not practiced or you've not planned it. I did have a student last week when I was asking about presentations who said, yeah, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go and do it for that day. And I was like, please practice. Please at least have practiced once or twice so that you can be sure. And I think the other thing as well is, which I did mention earlier, is if you're doing an assessment that's being marked, obviously that presentation's being marked, your lecturer is willing you to do well. They want you to do well. But sometimes students will speak so quickly, it's actually quite hard for the marker to get all the points. And I have heard examples of presentations where the student actually, it was a really good presentation, but the points were being made so quickly that the marker was really struggling to catch all the points. So in terms of practicing, just being able to think about the speed that you speak and whether that needs to be slowed down a little bit can be helpful. So, you know, it's just remembering that and remembering that the lecturer is on your side. You know, you've got a friendly audience, I guess. You know, you've not got a hostile audience. So that's quite good. Yeah, John, do you want to add a point in there?
Yeah, on that point, I mean, thinking about the audience as well, I mean, one way to get the audience on that, and there's something that a lot of students don't think about enough, is the eye contact when they're delivering a presentation. We can talk about the different modes. I think we're going to talk about the kind of different modes in a minute. But if you are doing it in person, the eye contact is crucial to a kind of successful presentation, and not just looking at the marker as well. I know there's a temptation by some students just to look at the person that's almost examining them, but to vary that, if you've got a lecture theatre of your fellow students, to be looking around the room and giving kind of each person at some point some direct eye contact. So, because I see that a lot, especially when people do the presentations for the first time, they're nervous, they just want to kind of bury their head in their notes, or not even maybe look at the audience, maybe look, if they've got a PowerPoint, they kind of turn their back to the audience. It's really important for a successful presentation and to get engagement and to get the audience on your side, is the eye contact is crucial. And that I think also works for if you're delivering it on Teams or Zoom as well. That you are kind of looking directly at the screen when you're talking.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask about there when you said about the different sort of modes of, you know, presenting. You know, are there a lot of differences online? But I would agree with you. I almost have to present to someone when I'm doing it online. I know a lot of people say, oh, I don't like to see myself, or I don't like to look at anyone, but I actually find it helpful to present to a person. Otherwise, I feel like I am literally sitting in an empty room, and, you know, I'm not sure where to direct my presentation. That's interesting. Hopefully that's given you some hints and tips on presentations, just some things that might be useful and things to think about. And, you know, we're all about planning and practice here. So as John has said, if you want to practice your presentation with us, you can book a one-to-one and do that. Be warned, I know in my sessions, I sometimes get people to present twice if there's enough time, just because you will see a difference the second time that you present. You will see that it will get better and it will sound more natural. So, you know, have a think about doing that if that's going to be useful. As always, we'd love your comments and your feedbacks on the podcast. If there's a topic you want us to discuss, then just drop a line to skills@uws.ac.uk. But I think that's us for today. So thanks, Carly.
Thanks, Linda.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, Linda.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.